Coming up next, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with her show, Up Your Brave. Community, connections, holistic health, and more on RCR. Reality Check Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's October the 9th, and I'm so thrilled that you're joining me, your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, for another episode of the Up Your Brave show, where it's all about information, inspiration, motivation, and more. If you don't know me, when I'm not busy interviewing people or chilling with my three teenagers, I'm also a speaker and an author and a visibility and vitality mentor. It is fair to say I'm definitely obsessed with people and helping them to understand, or as I like to say, understand themselves, and empowering people. And speaking of that, oh my goodness, I was so thrilled and excited to be invited to be an MC, Master of Ceremonies, at an upcoming event, which is actually a roadshow. This is a series of live events called Safe and Effective, with a lineup of amazing speakers, including many RCR guests, Linda Horton, Dr. Guy Hatchard, Dr. Allison Goodwin, Dr. Matt Shelton, Kim Knight, Gary Mahler, and more. And it's happening in November in four different cities in New Zealand, Queenstown, like I mentioned, also Wellington, Dunedin, and Invercargill. So we're going south. I'm excited to be there. So anyone's going to be at the Queenstown one, I will see you there. And yeah, it's going to be a brilliant event, and it's really definitely time for more courageous conversations, more accurate data, and more accountability. So if you want to find out about that event and book your seat, you can go to www.roadshow24.nz. Here is what's coming up on the Up Your Brave show today. First up, I'm going to be chatting with my friend over in Australia, facilitator, coach, and speaker Judy King, on the topic of aligned and embodied leadership for building a successful life and legacy. She asks the question, what are you here for? I think that's actually a question a lot of people are starting to ask themselves. She also is going to share with us some powerful insights on the signs of burnout, as well as reconnecting to your intuition and more. After that, I'm going to be talking to Kelly Thomas about chiropractic care, wait for it, for animals. We're going to speak about particularly chiropractic care for horses and dogs. Kelly is the president of the New Zealand Animal Chiropractic Academy. She's vice president of the French Animal Chiropractic Association. She is French originally. She's an expert rider as well as horse couple, and she's a speaker and holistic health practitioner. Following that, I've got a new mini segment that I'm pretty excited about. I'll be chatting with my previous guest, Derek Rennie, who is coming on for just a quick 7-minute stint where we're going to be talking about realistic reflections, well, his reflections on some current issues. But before we do all that, we're going to go to a song. This is Ocean by Mike Perry, and then we're going to dive into our first interview with Judy King.
If you'd like to contact us here at Reality Check Radio, you can email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio or text us by sending your message to 2057.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And next up, I'm talking to my friend over in Australia. I'm chatting to Judy King on the topic of aligned and embodied leadership for building a successful life and legacy. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to dive in, and I know we're going to touch on human design, which always gets me excited. For those of you that don't know Judy, Judy King is a business coach and global speaker. She's the founder of Bold Brave Legacy, a company dedicated to empowering women to build businesses that fuel their lives sustainably while leaving a profound legacy for future generations. With over two decades of experience, she's spoken on stages across four continents to more than 30,000 people, trained 12,000 plus in her group fitness instructors and personal trainers, and impacted over 500,000 through international television. Her passion is helping women create sustainable, impact-driven businesses that align with their authentic selves, where wealth is generated in a way that nourishes rather than depletes. Known for her bold, direct, and empowering approach, Judy combines mindset shifts with embodied practices to unlock potential and deliver actionable, tangible results. As a business mastery coach, NLP, and hypnosis trainer, master coach, human design business mentor, and speaker. Judy brings a unique blend of expertise and energy to all she does. Through her movement, richness without the hustle, Judy leads ambitious women to create success on their terms, blending bold ambition with sustainability. Judy, oh my goodness, there's so much in that, and there's so much synergy. I know when you and I first met, it was that connection with the word bold and the word brave, and I was like, I need to connect with this woman. I'm so excited today and in my interviews just to dive in, to get to know you better, to share you with my audience here in New Zealand. I know you come from Australia. Can you give us a little bit of your journey? Tell us a little bit of backstory and how you came to be, and specifically be talking about today, aligned and embodied leadership.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I spent 17 years of my life actually in Southeast Asia. I have a very close relationship with New Zealand, being an international master trainer and DVD presenter for Les Mills. And while I was based in Asia, I spent a long time, over a decade, traveling around Southeast Asia and the world, training, developing, upskilling group fitness instructors, personal trainers, and developing the training team and presenter team for Les Mills. So that really, I felt at the time was what I was here for, and I loved it. It was so much fun. I loved travel. I loved the change and the excitement of all of the different Southeast Asia countries that I got to travel to and move around. And spend time in long periods of time in some of those, 13 years in Thailand, 2 years in Vietnam, 2 years in Indonesia. But what it did was open me up into the realm of personal development. Being a leader in the space, I was always seeking to grow and develop and be better at what I did. And one of our values was world class. And so I was consistently striving to that, which looking at how trainings were developed, I learned that NLP was a big part of it. And that took me down the road of going and doing my NLP training, which was really for myself. At the time, I'd separated from my husband. We were married 11 years. And there was a lot of emotions that I wasn't able to move through and didn't really know what I needed actually, but I just wanted to grow and get better at what I did. And that opened up a whole new world for me. And then I just took one step after the other and continued to go down that road. Now we're in 2024. At the end of 2018, my now partner and our daughter, who was born in Thailand, we moved to Australia when Brooklyn, our daughter was only three. And that was a huge transition. My partner's also American. I hadn't lived in Australia for a long, long time. And that transition that I made moving to Asia was really big. And then moving back to Australia was also huge. A lot of grief, a lot of change, a lot of instability and things that had to go on. And so I continued to really move through everything that I was up against, because the last few years has been big. It's been 5 years. Not only did we go through what we went through with the pandemic, but I also lost my mom and my ex-husband 11 days mm-hmm. apart. So just up against so much of my own personal development, it really deepened my experience with embodying the work that I teach from a mindset and emotional maturity capacity, and then now more so in the energetics. And so like losing mom ended up guiding me more deeply into human design and gene keys and unlocking different parts of how I really wanted to grow and build my business. Because over that time, I also experienced burnout a couple of times. And after retiring from the fitness industry at the end of 2017 and going full-time as a coach and a trainer in personal development and coaching and mentoring women in business and CEOs and some of like top business people to support them really break through their own emotional barriers and their own mindset, limited mindsets and belief systems. Through overgiving, over-delivering, needing to figure out how to be an entrepreneur and run a family and support a family. Through all of that, it's been my greatest teacher, because I have experienced, like I said, burnout a couple of times and had to figure out how I wanted to build my business in a way where it fit in around my family, because we unschool, free schools, homeschool, whatever language I want to use for that today, our daughter. And Yeah. So it's been a big journey about really learning what's aligned for me and what, how can I actually really walk the talk of the work that I'm teaching others? And I've always done that through my own lived experience. So that's a little bit of the backstory.
Well, there's so many themes there. Something that stood out to me, well, there's the burnout thing and the loss. Oh my goodness, within 11 days, your mom and your ex-husband, that is massive.
Yeah, it was big.
And I know that a lot of listeners, I also want to send love to our listeners because a lot of people have experienced loss over the past 4 or 5 years as well, people from their lives moving on.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the burnout thing, because a lot of people know, like, oh, I've been burnt out, or I know a friend who's been burnt out. What is your view on burnout from a higher perspective? Do you feel like, I don't know, when I think burnout, I feel like it's something, you know, someone's putting way too much energy into something that no longer serves them, or maybe they're a projector, they're trying to live life like a generator. I don't know. What are your thoughts on burnout and why it happens to some of us, but not everybody?
Well, I think that our culture has motivated us to move into that way of being. It's very driven. It's very much about get where you want to go harder, faster, sooner. And you know, a lot of us have had the conditioning as well. Or for myself, my mom was a very hard worker. She separated from my dad when I was 6 years old, and there's four of us. Thankfully, she met someone else and he came in and supported as well. But still, she was working multiple jobs, always busy, always moving, always on the go. So I also had that as an example. And I think a lot of us did in that, I mean, I'm 47. And so kind of that generation, a lot of our parents probably did that. And so there's been that conditioning, but then also, like I say, the culture of what we're in. And what happened for me initially was the signs were I was doing what I loved. I loved travel. I was on stages inspiring thousands of people at a time, and I'd walk away going, far out. That was like amazing. And I loved it. I was so passionate about it. And at the same time, I was really tired, but I didn't know it. And what the signs were that I didn't know at the time was, oh, do I have to do this again? I don't have the energy for this, but I have a lot of willpower and I'm committed to what I'm doing. And so I would just keep going. I would literally just keep pushing through. Then, so that was the first sign. And the second sign for me, it happened 11 months after being in my coaching business full time. And I started to realize there was a lot of anxiety that I was experiencing, and I've never been an anxious person. I ended up drinking a bottle of wine pretty much most nights to take the edge off the anxiety. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was pushing consistently to get to a certain level in my business and do what I thought externally, what I was shown that I should do. And I had a zero, like, it's so interesting because even at that time, I had studied NLP for 5 years. I'd been coaching and doing the work on myself and gone through different levels of that certification. But at the same time, I was actually still very disconnected from myself. I didn't have a level of embodiment with the work. It was still very much logic. It was still very much in my head about it versus it actually dropping down into my body. And so it's good to have wisdom and knowledge, and, you know, we can move emotions and do things like that. And to actually be walking the talk of what we're teaching, like, that really takes a shift into trust, into intuition, into our bodies. And I had no connection to that. I was very disconnected. Funnily enough, though, I taught in the fitness industry and competed and was all about body stuff, but actually was still very shut off. And that happens to all of us. We shut off from our bodies and disconnect. And so I think because of the traumas, the significant emotional events that we've been through as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, and the human condition is to disconnect from it, to shut off from the emotion, especially if we hadn't had great mentorship or seen good role models of how to work and how to be with emotions, then our trauma response is to shut down ultimately in some way, shape or form. And that's part of what our body does to protect us so that we can move forward and function and carry on. And so yet what that does is leads to a society that is living very dissociated. So it's like you're living outside of your body almost. And I was like that. And so I think because I didn't have that ability to really understand what I was feeling, what was going on in my body, all I could notice now was these things that were happening in my external world. And I got to this point where I just said to my partner, we're in Bangkok, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, it's Friday evening, 6:15 at night, I'm crying my eyes out. I just said, I'm done. Like, I cannot coach another person. I don't want to speak to another person. I don't even know how to carry on right now. And it was that. And that was the pivotal moment that then I tapped into my intuition. And I was like, what do I need to do here? And my intuition guided me back to Australia. And I was like, what? Because I didn't want to do that. My plan was 6 months in Spain and 6 months of the year world schooling our daughter. And so, it was that. And then when I moved back to Australia and kind of got going again, restarted my business again, this time it was pretty much, I guess, the second time, because that first time when I retired from fitness industry, I wasn't aware that I was actually as burnt out as what I was. This next time was so big. I'd slowly gained weight. Literally my body was screaming, stop, slow down. It was like this internal knowing that I had to do that. And I think, so I've had chronic adrenal fatigue and I just knew it in myself. I didn't have to get diagnosed like 4 years later. Now they're like, oh, you've had chronic adrenal fatigue. I knew at the time that I had it. But again, it was just this inner knowing. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily get to burnout, but they're just living in exhaustion. And that exhaustion has become so known as something that we're just so used to, like wake up being tired, not sleeping well, not moving our bodies, not eating well, whatever it might be, and just going and doing, going through the motions and feeling like, honestly, that we're just consistently tired. And so for me, what I would explain, or I'd say that is more of like, it could possibly be burnt out at some level, have some kind of adrenal fatigue, or maybe you're just edging there, like edging on that. And the key for me has definitely been about bringing, like, so I talk about embodied leadership, because it's like bringing ourselves out of our head and dropping down into connecting, being in our body, feeling what our body is feeling, feeling the sensations of what's going on. If I didn't have that heightened awareness 4 years ago, I wouldn't have even listened to those signs of like, slow down, stop, don't force yourself. Because I continued to still force myself to go and do kickboxing and Bikram yoga and things that actually was totally working against me and actually didn't feel good at all. My body was saying, no, this is not what you need right now. But thankfully, again, I could listen to that and honor that. But it has been such a journey and a lot of recoding, like changing my belief systems around how I need to function, especially coming from years of smashing my body and working hard. When you have adrenal fatigue, working hard just creates more stress in the body and it's not good for the hormones. So it's like being able to slow right down and walk and now I do Pilates, you know, it's like, but I had to literally do nothing for a long, long time.
If you're listening to this, and I'm sure for many, it's resonating for you, that message, what Judy just said, you know, she was getting the message, it's time to slow down. And many of us are feeling maybe not burnt out, but very much kind of pushed to that limit because of maybe division in perspectives or possibly just the worry or concern around the world. There's a lot of reasons, as well as that whole, you know, work hard, play hard mentality that so many of us grew up with. Yeah. Judy, how can somebody take, even if it is the first step, like if they're like, okay, I do need to slow down, or okay, I do need to, as I like to say, lovingly let go of some of these expectations I've been putting on myself around whatever, fitness or job or relationships. What is a first step someone can take to be more aligned and more embodied in their life? You might want to elaborate on what that means, but what is one of the first steps they can take?
Well, I feel the first thing is, and it can be just literally a simple first step without needing anything else external, is the tuning, the slowing down, like taking time for yourself where you are in silence, you are out in nature, you can be walking and moving. It's a practice that I give all of my clients to be with yourself, be in your own energy. And it's very difficult for a lot of people. It's like, you know, sitting and meditating is really difficult. This can be easier because you can move, you can walk, you can go and do some weeding, whatever feels good, where you're actually possibly still doing some kind of active form of movement, but you have no outside influence. So you're not listening to a podcast or putting music on, or you're literally just with yourself. And you want to do your best as well to empty out any thoughts. So, you know, thoughts will probably come in, but it's just acknowledging it, letting go, bringing your presence back to your breath, to pulling the weed, to taking the next step, et cetera. And even 15 minutes, 30 minutes can be built up to an hour is something that what it will do is it will tune you back in to yourself. There's so much external influence, so much noise out there from everyone else's opinions and thoughts and belief systems. And then we've got the news and the TV. If you listen to that, if you watch that, then you've got the influence from all shows that we watch and politics and everything, right? There's so much influence telling us what we should think, who we should be, what we should decide, who we should vote for, et cetera. And we don't actually know ourselves enough, and we're not encouraged to take this time for ourselves. Especially being a busy mum, it's the last thing that we do because everyone else comes before us. For the mums listening, but it's my clients always say, like, this practice in itself has changed the game for me, and it's something very simple you can do. You don't need anything else. And like I say, what it's going to do is tune you into your wisdom, tune you in, you know, to that voice, that intuitive voice, because we know when we need something. We know when we don't need something anymore. It may be confronting for us to hear that or to act on that, like it was for me when I heard move back to Australia. I'm like, what? But it's just starting to tune into that quieter voice that is within every single one of us, and get to know ourselves again. Like, the more we know ourselves, the more we just come back into alignment versus living our lives based on what we were told, who we were told we should be, and how we were told to think, et cetera. And the more time we spend in our own frequency, our own aura energy, it's just very simple. It's a very simple practice that will bring you back in. And what that does is start to bring you back into your body, even just bringing your hands on your heart and breathing into your heart and starting to feel the sensations of that. Like, that's how we end up building and expanding embodied leadership, because embodied is where we're really deeply inside of our body. We're deeply connected to every sensation within our body. All of that's guiding us and moving us. If we're feeling an emotion, we're going to feel it as a sensation before we feel it before we label it. But again, if we're shut off from that wisdom, that guidance, we miss it. So the more we can just start to apply these basic practices to come out of the head and connect into so much wisdom within our bodies, it's such a beautiful thing. And if you're new to that and it feels really scary, you just start with a minute a day and, of that practice of coming into the heart and feeling what's there. And start building on that. It doesn't, you know, it's kind of like the way that I talk about embodiment and even any transformational work and change. Sometimes we think we've got to make these quantum leaps and go, you know, from zero to a gazillion in a moment. But it doesn't work like that. Actually, the best way to transform and to change is through micro movement, through micro steps, through micro changes consistently over time. And what that does is that then leads to the quantum leap.
You know, even just the other day, just yesterday, it's a bit of a habitual shift because I am that person. If I'm going out to walk the dog, I'll grab my headset, I'll listen to something because I love knowledge. I love consuming. I love contemplating, but I couldn't find my headset. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just me then. You know, like, it was different for me to not be listening to something. And it's so good. And isn't it so reflective of the era that we live in where it's unusual? And, you know, even multitasking aside, people like love multitasking, right? I'll listen to a podcast while I wash the dishes, which is fine. But I hear what you're saying. Even if we can spend a few minutes every day in our own energy, frequency, space, not having some external influence, Yeah. Part of it's a habit. I'm going to make a bit of a shift. I still will listen to things because I love that, but I will make sure that I have dedicated time where it is just me, where I'm not trying to do 1,000 things, but I love that you said I could weed the garden at the same time.
Yeah. I love weeding. It's so fun. It's such an analogy for life, right? It's like just pulling these little weeds out from the root and, you know, just, yeah, being gentle with it.
But making space for other things to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Segue there. I'm going to segue. I don't know if this is going to work, but when I talk about human design, I often talk about life is like a sushi train and invitations and opportunities come your way, but you can't say yes to all of them or your plate will be full, right? So weeding is like clearing way for other things. Like, so getting rid of things in your life that no longer serve you, maybe they used to, but now not so much. They don't light you up or they don't fulfill you or they're not really meant for you. So weeding out, if we can weed our life and make space for more invitations and opportunities to come in. Mm. I use that analogy with human design. Can you talk to me a little bit about human design for my listeners that don't know what it is? How does knowing your human design help you to live a more aligned life and today's topic, aligned and embodied leadership? How does it fit in with that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked because that would have been the next thing that I speak into, which is, again, now we're looking at something external that we can use to help us come into a deep knowing of ourselves. And this is why I love human design. I use gene keys and a bit of astrology as well. But we are very conditioned. I mean, it's one of our basic needs is to have certainty. And it helps. What I've noticed is when you learn your human design, even if it's just the very basics of knowing your energetic type. So we've got our generators, manifesting generators, projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. Just understanding that from an energetic point of what are the superpowers and the gifts of these energetic types? What is my strategy that aligns with that type? And the strategy is how am I designed energetically to move through the world? And what is my not self theme? The not self theme is related to each type, which is not actually a not self because it is part of who we are, but it's more of the shadow part of ourselves, or it's the part of ourselves that actually is the director that is showing us where am I out of alignment. So for our generators, their not self theme is frustration, and the signature theme, so what we want to feel, is satisfaction. For manifestors, the not self is anger. The signature is peace. For projectors, the not self is bitterness and the signature theme is success. And for reflectors, the not self is disappointment and the signature theme is surprise, which is like delight. And so kind of the when you understand that, oh, when I'm going to speak for myself because I'm a manifesting generator, when I'm experiencing frustration, that is a pure signal to me to know, oh, something's out of alignment. What I'm either trying to move faster, move faster than what I actually have the capacity for, or I'm not being patient. I'm trying to, so when you kind of learn like specific traits around each of the types, it's like you start to connect the dots of where potentially could I be out of alignment. So for manifesting generators, generally we do move very fast and then we don't have patience enough when things aren't moving fast enough. So it's the strength, but it also can be a bit of a shadow in it too. So as in we don't notice that that can be a gift, but it can also hold us back. So I could be frustrated because I'm not moving fast enough, let's say. So it could be, right, that frustration. And this is why I say when we're feeling that emotion, it's beautiful feedback. Our conditioning has told us that we shouldn't feel emotions like anger or frustration, yeah. You know. But when you understand that this is my feedback loop, this is a communication my body is giving me, that is communicating to me that right now I'm operating in a what I like to call a low expression of the type, and then there's the high expression of the type. The high expression is going to be, for manifesting generator, is going to be actually slow is fast. Real, even though we move fast, it's like understanding that the slower I go in being patient enough for it to happen, the more success I'm going to have. So, right, it's like you start to understand these elements about yourself, and then it can also be I've said yes to something that I actually meant no to. And this happens a lot, right? I mean, our culture, again, especially being women, men too. I've actually spoken, I've done a keynote, and very often I'm speaking to women, but of course I'm always speaking to men as well. And it was very much around people pleasing. And there was a man in the audience, and he was like, oh my God, he actually came up and said later, you were speaking to me as much as you were speaking to my wife, if not more so. That people pleasing, saying yes, just because we want to help, because we want to be of service, we want to give, we want, et cetera. And quite often, so when we learn our human design and you learn that you have an authority, your authority is your decision-making process. And when you learn how to use that, again, it's a very body-led communication, and learn to honor that and say no, even if it feels really uncomfortable. Oh, like it just leads to deeper levels of that signature theme, which is satisfaction. And again, it's like, well, what does satisfaction mean to me? So we can expand and go deeper on understanding that about ourselves as well. And when I know for me, satisfaction means freedom, it means peace as well, it means like expansiveness in how I feel, then it's like in my day, I'm seeking that feeling. I'm seeking that for me is alignment and also embodiment, because I know that I'm honoring my way of deciding things and moving through life as well. For an example, as a generator, it's responding to life. If we're trying to force it and push it and will it to happen and, you know, chase down whatever it is that we want versus allow it to come. And again, this is that old school mentality that you've got to...
That's been my biggest challenge. I'm such a go-getter that I'm just allowing and having the patience. That's tricky for me.
It is. It's one of the trickiest for many gens, because we move fast and we want it now. And you know, all of society can probably relate to this in some way, right? It's like, and this is the other thing that I like to weave in and how I teach human design as well, is that even though we may have a specific energetic type, all of the types are somehow within us, because we have channels within the human design chart. And those channels and the specific gates are, I'm going to talk about the channels, but the gates too, the channels are specified to the energetic types. So for an example, we have generated channels. We have one manifesting generator channel. We have manifested channels, and we have projected channels. So for most of us, we're all going to have projected gates or channels. So even though we might be manifesting generator, we also will have some elements of the traits of a projector within us. Meaning, if I'm in the logic or the systems, or if I'm in whatever it might be that's more of a projected quality as a manifesting generator, I would also benefit very greatly from waiting for the invitation or being seen or being recognized. So there's elements that intertwine, and this is how I love to bring human design in, is like seeing the magic of how, when we really understand things more deeply, how it all intertwines and how we actually are all of it. And of course, we've got some dominant things that we're going to be more of, but it's like, oh yeah, we can see how it all ties in. And then the most potent thing about knowing yourself as well and coming into alignment with your own energy and how you're designed to move and make decisions in your life is life starts to unfold for you. Life starts to feel very flowy and easeful, and no longer, it feels really hard and I need to struggle. We can start to, this has been the biggest thing for me, is I've just created my business in a way that feels really amazing. My life just moves in flow. Nothing feels hard. It just feels really juicy. And that's because I've learned about myself and I've learned about others. You know, in my relating to my partner, I can understand what he needs from me because of how I work, and vice versa. The way I parent, my daughter's also a manifesting generator. I teach her about her authority.
Yes.
About her emotions. I understand what she needs to be soothed and so on, right? Like the biggest immediate impact that I see with my clients is always an improvement in their relationships and how they're relating and communicating and understanding one another, which to me builds alignment.
That is the key. Whenever I talk about human design, I also say, like when people say, why are you so excited about it? Yeah. Because it helps us to understand, or as I like to say, understand ourselves and others better, judge ourselves less and others, and love ourselves more and others. So, and when we can do that, especially, you know, I've got three kids, if I just treated them all the same and had all the same expectations and, you know, I don't think it would really work, but because I see them for who they are and I know about human design and it, I think it just makes it makes me a better mom. And I mean, who wouldn't want that? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And like projected children quite often can get very projected on because they do need more rest. They are not as active as generators and have quite often been told, you know, you're lazy. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing it like that? Or people who have an emotional authority and they need space, they need time to sleep on it and think about it. When you know that about your children, and yeah, it does. It makes you so much more a better person.
I've actually got two projectors.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's that thing that you have as a evidence point almost that, oh, like for me, it was always, oh, now I can like really own that part of me, you know, that I move quick, I skip steps, I like to change my mind. And if I haven't made a decision from my emotional clarity, why I've then given up on things where the judgment could have been, oh, I can't follow through on things, right? And that's typically how we would look. Like, don't give up on things. You got to finish it to the end. That's the mentality a lot of the times. And so it just gave me so much more compassion and understanding about myself. And everyone says it just makes so much sense. And it just gives me permission to be me.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Judy King. We're talking about aligned and embodied leadership for building a successful life and legacy. Just now, we were talking about human design as it is such a part of living in alignment. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear your questions. You can send us a text, 2057 on the text, or if email is more your jam, inbox at realitycheck.radio. Judy, let's talk a little bit more about the topic, which is for building a successful life and legacy. Legacy, right? A lot of people might not exactly think, they might think, oh, I don't really have a legacy. Or some people think leaving a legacy means leaving enough money for your kids. Why is leaving a legacy or creating a legacy important for, well, hopefully most people? Why? What does it mean and how does it fit into this topic?
Well, I believe that our legacy matters for every single one of us. And whatever and however that looks, and that could be simply who you are being and how and what you are remembered for in who you became. And first and foremost, owning that, owning the leadership of us as parents, as teachers, as business owners, as employees, whatever it is, in some way, shape or form, every single one of us is a leader. We are leading our life. We are leading our children. We are leading other people and in so many ways. And ultimately, every single one of us has something bigger that we're here for that is also outside of ourselves, that is not only about us. I truly believe that. Whether or not every single person will embrace that and be wanting to kind of live that out in this lifetime is another story. However, I just believe that the more deeply we can get to know who we are and what it is that we want to be a stand for, that in itself is a legacy. And it could be as a mother who was so devoted to her children and built these children up in a certain way that they were kind and loving and respectful, right? That in itself is a legacy in my perspective. And when we're able to tune in with ourselves and come into a knowing, a deep trust within who we are and our own alignment of what matters to us and what's important to us and why it's important as well. And we just really spend the time to get to know that within ourselves, what's going to happen is it's going to open up something more, something greater, something that, yeah, we do want to be remembered for. And we do want to be able to look back at the end of our life and say, yeah, this was who I was. This was who I became. This is what I offered the world, or this is what I offered my family. And to me, it just comes down to being devoted to being ourselves, coming back to our truth. What is my truth? What is something that I need to share that that everyone needs to hear from me, potentially a message, a story. I see too some of my clients are older, and they in their 70s, and they've said, like, what have I got to give? Like, what now, you know? Like, and I'm always looking at the wisdom that they have through their story and who they've, yeah, how they've navigated life. And even though they may be up against challenges right now in understanding that transition that they're going through, that, yeah, even just being a messenger of the story that you've experienced and what you've learned through that is potentially their legacy. And so for me, it's a passion. For me, it's important to support people to ignite that within themselves and to just not accept a kind of mediocre and average existence where I'm just here to kind of live and that's it. No, we're not. We're actually here for so much more, every single one of us. And that more is going to be very individual based on your choices and your values, what matters to you. And I think deciding today that, yeah, I do have something of value, that I am of value because I'm here in this life. I'm here. It's a miracle, right?
And at this monumental time that we're living through.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. I mean, I think that one of the benefits, and there are benefits of the last 4 years, 5 years, and that we've been living through, is a lot of people thinking about, what do I stand for? You know, what am I here for? What will I stand for? What will I no longer stand for? And yeah, Speaking their truth a little bit louder. I'd love to ask you, because, you know, we're in New Zealand, you're in Australia. What is the pulse of the people at the moment? I know you, obviously Australia is a big country, but what is the vibe over there? Do you feel like more people are starting to awaken or maybe lean more into their spiritual side? What are your thoughts?
Well, I live in a beautiful little hub in the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. So I probably have a slightly warped sense of what's happening in Australia, but I am very grateful for where I live, because people are very conscious. Where most people, yeah, so many people are homeschooled here, and, you know, we're into our organic foods, and a lot of them going off grid and establishing community style living. Like, a lot of my friends are doing that and building tiny homes and things like that. So, I mean, I live in a hub where we have a lot of that level of, like, that level of thinking and that level of consciousness. I think within Australia, it's not like that so much.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's still, in my experience, in my opinion, is there's still a lot of people that are still caught up in the thinking, that is the system. It's the structure, it's the rules, it's the way it is, and are not willing to bend outside of that. And I feel, though, there is a lot of fatigue, a lot of tiredness around what we've been through. I think collectively everyone's been through a lot of grief. I'm very intuitive, I'm very tapped into people's emotions, and for me, what I experience is a lot of grief. Because grief is anything that where we're experiencing change. We may not have experienced loss, but maybe it's loss, like, in a different way, where we've had to change a career or give up a career or start something new or close down our business or move cities or whatever it might be, right? It's like any disruption to our regular routine creates a level of grief. And I would say every single person has experienced that over the last 4 years. So that's what I feel and in the vibe. And again, I'm really grateful the hub that I live in with the kind of people that I'm surrounded by. And yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right. We're almost out of time, but I want to ask you these important questions. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Well, one of the things that I would do is start putting myself out there, pitching myself to be on TEDx stages. It's a goal and a vision that I have, that I've been meaning to do all of this year, almost since March, maybe. And all of my other exciting projects have taken over that. So yeah, I would say to up my brave would definitely be around starting that process of putting my TED talk out there and potentially landing a stage for 2025.
Well, I know you've spoken to thousands and thousands of people, and we would love to have you over here in New Zealand at some point. What is coming up for you in business or life, and how can people reach out? How can they follow you on the socials and your website?
So I've got a workshop coming up, which is called Rich Codes, teaching the eight frequencies, the eight codes to, if you're in business, to magnetize high paying clients that pay in full. And from there is the embodiment experience. So actually it's a really, I'm launching this as a brand new program through my inspiration, because I have seen how so many people, when they start learning human design, they learn it very much from the logic perspective. I have this knowledge, but then don't know how to embody it, don't know how to bring it into their body and actually implement it in their lives. And I've created my own method called the recoding method that I use with somatics and hypnosis to help people really get into their bodies with it. So the embodiment experience is going live after the workshop. And it's just kind of self-paced course, and there'll be a VIP mini mind version of that as well. So that's what I'm excited about right now, being able to kind of get that out to more people. And because the only people that have access to that right now, the women in my mastermind, which is a high level women in business. So that's that. And you can find me on Instagram, The Judy King is my username. And if you go to www.thejudyking.com, you'll also be able to find me on everything there. There's a connect page, and yeah, there's freebies and all other really cool stuff on there.
Amazing. We will put the links, everybody, on the replay page, but otherwise you can just look up The Judy King and find it. I love the consistency there. The embodiment experience, that sounds amazing. So it's online. It's so they don't have to be in Australia. People can do it around the world. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's all online with so many amazing resources and tools, worksheets, self-assessments, meditations, activations, and some teaching as well. But yeah, it's
all right, everybody. So if you've been wanting to up your brave in terms of your embodiment and living more in alignment, check that out. Judy, we're just going to wrap things up, but what else would you love to share with our listeners before we go?
What I would love to share is one of the most important things, I think, for all of us is really to come back into our most authentic truth. And the more we can be brave enough to actually sit with ourselves, like even that recommendation I gave you, being with yourself in silence, that requires so much courage. And from there is then when you tune in, when you listen, when you get messages around what's there for you, being able to then act on that and leaning into the discomfort of maybe confronting conversations or the resistance that might be there around saying no to someone that you've said yes to, or saying yes to something that you'd said no to, could be the opposite way around. Yeah. And just encouraging people to, yeah, really, you know, breathe into their bodies and create this sense of knowing that when you get a nudge and when you do get that insight, that it is there for you, and take that invitation and speak your truth and lead from your truth, and only magic will unfold when you do that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Judy, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Judy King. We talked about a range of topics all around alignment and leadership. We talked about legacy. Is that something you've thought about lately? It's something I think about now and then, definitely, but it was good to revisit. She talked about some of the signs of burnout and pausing instead of pushing all the time. Changing your pace, slowing down, being with your own energy, and tuning back into yourself. I think these are things that we all kind of know, but it's so good to be reminded of, and specifically on how to do them, how to bring them into our life. I love that Judy and I also share a mutual love of human design. She's got an incredible course coming up. I've actually signed up for it myself. It's called The Rich Codes. She's talking about the eight frequencies. You can find out about it on her Facebook page, The Judy King, and also on her website, thejudyking.com.
And following that, she's got something called the embodiment experience. So if this resonated with you and you want more, definitely get in touch. In fact, I'm pretty sure the Rich Codes is tonight. So you got to be quick if you want to get onto that. Amazing. Next up, we're going to go to a song that Judy recommended. This is Daydream by Lily Miola.
People are struggling to have conversations and connect with others that they don't completely agree with on every topic. And I think that's probably the biggest problem that we need to try and solve is how, after all this division and after all this separation, do we end up bringing people together again? And what does unity really look like?
New Zealand faces some pretty big issues. First one is COVID in the aftermath. There's no getting away from that. Second is racial division. It's been ginned up and it's dangerous. Another issue that maybe people haven't got their head around yet is digital currency. What form does that take? Is it programmable? Will it be used to manipulate behavior and patterns of behavior? Those questions need to be asked and answered.
How can you have fair, open, democratic government by people who are appointed? It's a ridiculous idea. And if that idea is taken to its zenith, then this country is in real trouble, because democracy, one person, one vote, where every vote is of equal value, has got to be the foundation of a modern New Zealand.
What's true, what's not true, how our kids are to be educated, and you know, I have a great fear for the future. I think we know from history where this could end up.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to Kelly Thomas on the topic of chiropractic care for animals. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Natalie, for having me today. And I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time.
Well, great. And I'm such a fan of chiro, but I don't know much about chiropractic for animals. So I'm going to learn today, and I know my audience will too. If you don't know Kelly, Kelly Thomas is the founder of Kelly Chiro Performance Chiropractic in Clevedon. She's a highly experienced chiropractor specializing in both human and equine. Have I said it correctly?
I think we need to say equine.
Equine. Equine chiropractic care. Let me translate that for you. Horses. Kelly previously managed an equine health center in her home country of France, bonjour, until 2023, where she worked closely with trainers, veterinarians, and other health professionals to provide comprehensive care for horses and riders. She is qualified from both the New Zealand College of Chiropractic and the International Academy of Veterinary Chiropractic, and has worked internationally with a focus on improving performance and preventing injuries for both equine and human athletes. So thrilled to have you here, Kelly. I love animals. Most of my listeners know I love people, but I actually also love animals. And I also love natural care and holistically looking at the body. So not just looking at the sore knee, looking at the whole body. And I love that chiropractic does that. Before we dive in to the ins and outs of chiropractic, can you share with us a little story about how you got into this area? I know you come from France. How did you come to be someone that is qualified in this area and helping both humans and horses?
Well, the story goes back, I think, from the time that I was diagnosed with a spine condition called scoliosis. But at the time, I was a teenager, didn't have any pain. And basically what I had been told by the medical doctors is to stop riding, which wasn't going to happen because of my involvement at the time into already owning a horse and going into competition. And basically what I did and what my family brought me to do is to look for alternative care. And you have to know, in France, the access to chiropractic is way less than it is in New Zealand, especially 15 years ago now. And I managed by chance to get myself adjusted. And also what really made the click in me was to meet an equine chiropractor. So I got to observe and I was like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And in order to be qualified as an animal chiropractor, you have to be first a human chiropractor. So I chose this career when I was 16 and started at 17 years old and did part of my training actually in France for 3 years and then moved to New Zealand. Eventually graduated with both degrees, the human one and then the specialization for all animals. But today I treat mainly equine and dogs in terms of animals, and I also have a human practice here in Clifton. So yeah, that's the back story of how I got into all that.
What I love about that is, oh my goodness, at the age of 16, you had, you know, what I call a rest of my life moment. Like in that moment, you knew this is what I'm going to do. And you even said for the rest of my life. That's pretty rare. That's pretty cool that that came to you. And did you just follow that path and not really veer off it since?
Oh, no. Straight to chiropractic school at the time. It was direct from, you know, being graduated in high school and never looked back. But to be honest, I also knew within myself, even, and that's a cool point to make, is that I didn't have any pain at the time, and I still could see that I was improving, but more so my horses were improving. So, and both of them, they were benefiting from me being adjusted because I was more balanced, and themselves as well, obviously.
And if it's okay to ask, how have things progressed for you? Are you still able to ride?
Oh, yeah, no, I never stopped. I never stopped. And which is funny, because I will always have a tendency to be imbalanced on one side, and I know. And getting myself regularly adjusted definitely makes a world of difference. But I also got into obviously years of care, and that is just paying off for the long run.
Mm.
Yeah, well, to be able to say.
That's a beautiful segue into my first question, which is really one of the basic questions around, for the listeners that don't know, but also to highlight, what exactly is chiropractic? Because you just said to me, you know, you talked about being balanced. And I know one of my friends who's a chiropractor, she always talks about helping people to fire on all cylinders, is the phrase that she uses. So tell us, what exactly is chiropractic? And then we'll move into how it works and some benefits and things like that.
Sure. So I'll keep it really simple. Chiropractors focus on the nervous system. And so everybody knows that you have your brain being into the skull, and it connects with the rest of the body, and it does so by sending messages. So into the spinal cord first, and then it exits and goes into the nerve, and it goes everywhere. It could be a muscle, or it could be a organ cell, and then it also goes back. Those messages are going traveling up the nerve to the nerve root, spinal cord again to the brain. And so basically that goes for every cell on what to do, when to do it. And that flow needs to be properly functioning. And that's what chiropractors make sure of. Because obviously along the way, you have different areas that could be susceptible of creating interferences. And obviously we talked about the back of already, and that is the spine, a place where those interferences can happen. So chiropractors just analyze, locate, and remove those interferences that may happen along the way. And that's the premise for chiropractic in general. So you can apply that for humans, but same for animals. They do have a brain and the skull and the spine and all of those places could also be susceptible for interference of those messages. So same thing, different techniques. Obviously, you wouldn't use the same for a dog that you do for a horse and for a person.
Well, that is my next question, actually. Like, in terms of how does it work? Like, what does it look like? If I was standing beside you as you were treating, let's say, a horse, for example, how does that work? Like, where are you standing? Where are you pressing? Are you sitting on them? What does it look like?
That's a common question. Well, I do move around a lot, for sure. I use sometimes also the owner help me or the handler. But most of the time when I was when I was by myself in my own facilities, I would have no one and just me and the horse and no restriction. Because, you know, especially horses, they like to be feeling free of movement. And so where do I stand is for me to access, it could be a fetlock or could be the spine, then I move my body accordingly. Sometimes we have to stand on what we call bells, so that gets us above the spine. And yeah, that is a common place for chiropractors to.
Did you say bales, like a hay bale?
Well, I think the name comes from hay bale, but now we use just big light bell that's easy to move and, you know, they wash it, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it could be a hay bale. I've done it from hay bales in the past. Yeah, into stables that sometimes you just make it up. As long as you know what you're addressing and where to be in place and you just work with the horse, that's a big or dog, you cannot force an animal to be adjusted, but because they can feel your intention and experience, and they're much faster than humans actually to get what's going on when you adjust them, then they just come close to you. You don't have to chase them and you don't have to work with confining or being having to do that or the other. They're participating to their own care in a way, which is really cool.
So you think they can sense that energetically you are here to help them, and as a result, they're able to relax their muscles or to not, like you said, not need constraining, not to run away because they know you're here for good. Do you feel like they can sense that from you?
100%. Yeah. So I would lie if I say that all animals at any time would sense that from me. But when I feel this tension, then you have to reassess. Is it the good technique? Is it what the animal needs? Is it the good place, the good time? And all of those parameters, then if you have to force it, it's not obviously ideal, but also it's, you probably have to go back to questioning yourself on that. Because a lot of people, funny enough, more so in France than in New Zealand, but they will ask me like, oh, do I need to do this, that, or the other to make sure that my horse is going to receive the chiropractic care that he or she needs. And it's not a concern for me at all, because if you do have, obviously, some of the animals that I see are in pain, if you do have pain, then your mission is not to, you know, make it a bad experience for the horse. You're here to help. And you do so by providing chiropractic care, and it works really well.
I mentioned before that I love that it's holistic. It's the whole body. One of the things I've experienced, and only with humans, is how, and I'd love to know if this is the case with some of your, I don't know if you call them clients, you know, the people, but also the animals that come in, is they come in for one thing, thinking, oh, it's my knee, or oh, it's my ankle, but it ends up being something else. And someone else, maybe a physio or someone else that's not quite looking at the body so holistically, might not pick it up. Here's an example. My daughter was a cheerleader, and they're always like flipping and twisting, and sometimes they land on their head and whatever. And I think it was an ankle. She had something, I can't remember what it was. I think it was her ankle that was sore. And where one person would laser focus on the ankle, I love how chiros look at the whole body. And it turned out it was her shoulder, because she's a side base. That means she's often got her hands in the air. She's ready to catch someone, but she always stands on the left side. So it was always one shoulder, not the other, right? So everything was tilted, right? Which is very much a Chiro thing, trying to get the body back into alignment. And that's just one of the things I love, is that they could quickly pick it up that she was out of alignment because it was actually her shoulder, not so much an ankle, but it was presenting in the ankle, something like that. Can you talk to me about what things people come in for, mainly for the animals, because I'm just so intrigued with the animals, either humans or animals, what do they come in for? And is it sometimes actually they walk out the door and it was actually something else than what they thought?
Yeah. To answer very shortly, yes, it's often a combination of different areas or even different tissues in one area. And especially with animals, because they can't speak. They come tell us, this is where I feel the most pain. And as you said, even when you know that from human care, this is where I feel the pain, sometimes it's most often a combination of things. And again, as chiropractors, we tend to focus on primarily the nervous system, and we do have different signs that we pay attention to. So muscle tension will be one, but those signs are directing us to address the body where it needs. And you're totally right that horse can have a hind leg, you know, lameness or incomfort, and we find something in the wither. So this is a totally general, and don't make it as a rule, but that's very, very, very often. And we also have what we call subclinical injuries, or in the case of animals, we often tend to focus on lameness, even though we can have different presentation addressed with chiropractic care, even though that's not my intent to sometimes solve this, that, or the other in terms of diagnosis, but you just work with the body's ability to heal itself. And going back to the very basic acknowledgement about the body, is that the nervous system sends messages, and it just needs to work properly, just need no interference. And once you remove that, and then the body is able to express itself like it should, which means perhaps having the proper absorption in the gut, and you know, you would have signs of better digestion, and perhaps it'll be something that you can observe in the gait. So lameness wise, and or behavior, or all of that. So you just work with that healing process and making sure, for example, for performance, you even enhance and try to make them push a little bit further every time. When you get into performance gear, this is a lot of the horse that I see. They are athletes at the end of the day. So then, you know, you obviously want to prevent injury, but not only.
You want to kind of bring out the best in their ability. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. To make them express whatever they can express. So obviously one horse performance might be to, you know, make a dressage test. Another horse might be race horses to run really fast. So, you know, it means different things for different situations.
Yes. Okay. I can imagine there's a lot of benefits. Can you walk us through what are some of the benefits of chiropractic care? Let's do humans, because we don't want to leave them out, but for humans first, and then a few for animals, they're possibly the same.
So again, it's an area of things that you could observe in yourself if you get under care, and all of that are consequences of, again, being sure that the body works as well as it should. And so the common, very common theme is obviously everything to do with a spinal function, and yes, it is a part of it, but also as I mentioned before, it could be better digestion, better rest, you know, energy levels. If we're talking to about humans, we can communicate on even like brain fog. Like those are very symptoms that we see often, and they're very unspecific. So, and seems to be that holistic approach that we have also have a holistic effect. So, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint to answer your question with a list. I think it just means different things for different people.
Amazing. All right. What kind of changes have you seen, if you're able to give some examples of animals or humans that have come in with whatever it is that they had wrong, and they've seen some real shifts in their mobility or their pain? Can you give a few examples?
Yeah, I think as a lot of practitioner, I've been really impacted by my first few cases. And one of them was a pony that would not take weight. And as a matter of fact, after being under care, will pick up its weight. So I didn't really do anything for that. But that's an example that really still with me today.
Can you just walk me through that? Because I don't know a lot about, or pretty much, and I don't know anything about horses. When you say wouldn't pick up weight, do you mean it wouldn't gain weight or wouldn't take any riders on it?
Oh, sorry. Gain weight.
Okay.
So there's something going on. And we worked with obviously the team of vets that we had, but even the vets were not having any definitive conclusion in terms of diagnosis, just something with one of the unknown, that one of the parameter. And again, I didn't do anything specifically for that, just assess the horse, locate, find and remove those interference within its body. And then it started to work like it should, and just regain weight after that. So this is one example that's if you talk to horse owners and or address that sort of example, this is a worry for a lot of horse owners, and anything to do with you know, being able to provide for the animals, because you are responsible as an owner. And when you do everything correctly and still it doesn't work, then you face with a scenario of like, oh, I have to watch my pet suffering. And that really stayed with me. Again, this example is one of the few first cases that I've seen in my career. And I was really surprised even myself for the changes that I've observed after. So that's one example. Obviously, the other very common example is always lameness. So lameness will be a matter of not one session most of the times, and having to observe if that area that creates the lameness as first sort of like move. So you have primary and secondary causes. And once you work with a chiropractor, you often get the opportunity to follow up with the care. And that's not a one-off, because you probably can get the idea of on humans or on horses, the original event that created a problem is often sort of hidden. And that's why we have to make sure that whatever the horse or the animal is presented with to the chiropractor, which could be, again, very general hind leg lameness, it doesn't switch to the other side and then goes to the front. So all of that happens very often. And that's why for my own patients, I often see what are the results and then follow up with what's needed after, you know, resolving an issue like lameness. What does the body do? Is it back on its 100% health, or does it have to be still monitored? And And obviously you want to maintain those good results that you have. It's like going to the gym. Yeah, once you got a six pack, you cannot just stop. You know what I mean? And it's the same. You want to maintain, and that's way easier to maintain a good healthy animal than to bring it back to health.
Yes, and I think that's probably one of the things that some people are good at, the maintenance and booking in and keeping it regular, and other people probably wait until another problem crops up and then they book back in. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about dogs. So if lameness is the most common for horses, what's the most common dog injury or ailment that they present with?
It'll be about the same, but what I've observed in my experience is that basically the dynamics between a dog owner and its animal and a horse owner and its animal are very different. Like the daily amount of time that you spend with a horse is usually less than the daily amount of time that you spend with the dog. So I tend to find that dog owners are very observant of their dogs, you know, especially being pets, being at home, you notice straight away if they jump in and out of the couch with ease or not. Mm-hmm. I think it's not like they have obviously a different anatomy and different body, but the main trend that I tend to see is that the dog owners are probably a little bit earlier at picking up on their animal's discomfort. And again, they're very good. I find really good on the side of maintenance for dog owners because it's like their baby. And same for the horse for, you know, some of my horse owners. But the dogs tends to have a special place into people's heart. And you know, often like compared to, you know, it's my kid. I often hear that. And so I am finding it easier to communicate on the fact that, okay, this happened. We solved, or we made sure that this dog is able to be back to health. And now we just got to make sure it doesn't happen anymore. And that's very easy to explain, but to apply, I find my dog owners are very good at it.
I imagine there's not many dog or animal chiropractors around. Are there a lot in New Zealand, or is it quite unusual?
I'll say it's going to grow for sure. So at this stage, it is still unusual. But with the situation of New Zealand being so open to chiropractic in general, and again, I'm coming from France, so I'm comparing those two countries. Mm-hmm. So for human chiropractic, we tend to know what a chiropractor is. So people tend to have an idea. So I think it's just going to grow, and it's just going to have this this like the natural progression of I get myself adjusted. And again, I see my dog not being comfortable, whatever the reason is. And okay, so let's book in. So you just need to find a good professional around you. And that's coming, you know, people tend to be in Auckland and then one more. And we are about 20 that I know of being chiropractors and animal chiropractors. And I don't know about, because veterinarian skin qualified in animal chiropractic. So you either have to be a human chiropractor or a vet before doing the animal chiropractic studies. So I don't know the numbers for vets that practice chiropractic techniques, but they are, there's a few.
So well, that leads me so nicely to my next question, which is around the veterinarians. How do they generally respond to the concept of chiropractic for animals? Are they open to it? Are they skeptical?
Yeah. Again, just in my experience, I never had any bad reaction from vets, knowing that one of their horse or dog was getting adjusted with a chiropractor. Well, and especially me having you know, the proper qualification. So no, it's actually maybe easier because they tend, in my part of France, they tend to be understaffed anyway, and that was rural. So if an owner is having a problem and they can't intervene, then they're happy that the owner finds the right person. So yeah, never had any issue. Now that I'm in Auckland, maybe it's a little bit different, but I don't find it that the vets are having a problem being having a integrative approach, which means sometimes you have to call on other professionals.
Well, that is good. That's good to hear. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, I'm talking to Kelly Thomas on the topic of chiropractic care for animals. If you've been listening, we would love to hear your thoughts. Have you taken your pet to a chiro or yourself? And what benefits have you seen? If you're happy to share a story with us or a comment, you can send that in. Text us 2057 or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Just about to wrap things up in a moment, Kelly, but before we do, I'd love to ask you, what else do you personally do? I imagine you get adjusted from a chiropractor. What else do you personally do for your own health and well-being to stay healthy and able to do your job?
Oh, well, you said it. I get adjusted for sure. Also a lot of sports because I just love it as well.
What kind of sports?
Horse riding is one of my big passion, and running, cycling, swimming, all of them. I try to get a bit a balance of sports, so that works well for me. Being outdoor, you know, pay attention to nutrition is a big one, and mental health, especially being a mom, is really important to, you know, fill your cup with just being in silence for 10 minutes here and there. And that's definitely, you know, a lot of simple things, but they add up. And that's what I do for myself.
Well, you are in, I think you're in the young years of motherhood with little ones. I'm not sure how old they are, but I don't know. I feel like it definitely gets easier. Some mothers might disagree, but in my experience, teenagers, way easier so far than when they were little and you were constantly having to keep your eye on them. And I'd love to ask you the Up Your Brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do?
Basically keep doing what I'm doing, which is reaching more communities and obviously animal owners for raising awareness that there is a solution to some of the things that they have themselves experienced or observe in the horse or dog, and just make sure that they have these options. And that's, for me, stepping out of my comfort zone by, you know, engaging with new public or this interview speaking opportunities. So I still have bigger plans, and that involves more people than myself, but that will be to create an animal chiropractic association, and that will, you know, get the ball rolling with again more momentum and more people, more energy. So that's very exciting to think about.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be 2024 and after, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Well, shout out to Tamara, who connected us. She's from Voices for Freedom, and she connected us and suggested you as a guest. So thank you for upping your brave and coming on. How can people connect with you on the socials or your website? And do you have anything specific coming up that you want to let us know about?
So if people want to reach out, whether it is for a question or a recommendation of some colleagues, if you're not in my part of New Zealand, can definitely direct you towards someone or try. You can reach out on Facebook at Kelly Caro - Performance Chiropractic. You also can have a look at my website at performancechiropractic tech.co.nz, or just simply reach out through texts and calls. I'm always available and call back my people on 027-450-9661. I'm a bit of an old school. I like text and phone rather than DMs and stuff like that.
That's all good. We will do our best to also put those links and information on the replay page. But if you missed it, you can send us a message 2057 on the text to get her contact details. Amazing. Is there anything specific coming up in your life personally, or maybe professionally, that you want to share with us?
So for this year, I will be intervening at the Equine NZ Academy. So that's really exciting. I was there yesterday. I'm going to go back. So that's a big thing to be in line with my goals. And hopefully next year, we're going to launch the association in a first cohort for animal chiropractors to be graduated. I'm also part of that.
That is such a huge undertaking. Good on you. All right. Well, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
I would like to share how grateful I am to reach out to so many people. And thank you, Natalie, for having me on board with that. And yeah, just that, simply.
Well, merci and pas de problème, which means thank you and no problem, I think. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on as a guest. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Oh, très bien, très bien. There's my French. Very good, very good. I hope you enjoyed that interview talking to Kelly Thomas on a topic that I always learn something new when I interview people, and I hope you did as well. We talked about many things, including the body's ability to heal itself and focusing on the nervous system, looking for signs to address what the body needs. I love how we can look at it for animals and for people as well. So many insights. If you want to learn more, you can follow Kelly or get in touch. She's Kelly Cairo -Performance Chiropractic, or her website, performancechiropractic.co.nz. We will be putting the links as usual on the replay page. And if you like this interview, you'll also enjoy my interview with Rebecca Gambles, the animal communicator, and another interview that I did with Olivia Potter around dogs, and specifically raw feeding for dogs. So if you're a pet lover, you can check those out all on the replay page. Next up, we're going to go to two songs in a row. First, it's one that our lovely guest recommended. Kelly wanted the song Into the Wild by Lewis Watson. And she actually said to us, when I asked her what song she wanted, she said, "I free birthed my second daughter with this music on loop. So you can imagine how much I love this music as it links me more with who I am." That's so amazing. Following that, a song that I've chosen, we're going to fade it out. It's pretty long, but we'll do about 3 or 4 minutes. It's called High Frequency Relaxation Music for Dogs. I hope you enjoy that. Here we go. Welcome back. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm excited for this next little segment. I'm doing something new. I like to change it up. We're introducing something called Realistic Reflections with my good friend, Derek Rennie. Derek is author of Light, Love, Laws, and Lies. He is a medical doctor and holistic health practitioner and a Voices for Freedom local coordinator in the Hibiscus Coast. Derek, I believe you're going to talk to us today about a few things. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Natalie. I'm really happy to be sharing these things because I do a top five Substack, which has my top five articles plus some top five short shareables and some actionables every week. And they often tend to have a theme because it just seems to come through. And one of the themes from the last week was the idea that how law is changing. I think we've all experienced how we can't trust doctors as much as we thought we used to be able to trust them. And it seems to be happening with law as well, whereas lawyers actually, there was a brief thing came out from Andrew Bridgen, and all his, he's fighting, I think, 6 legal battles or a few of them. And he says, even my lawyers aren't working for me. They're working for the bar, or they're working for the man. So it's just that whole idea of how law, just being aware that law has been taken over, just like medicine has been taken over. And, you know, fine for things like conveyancing and stuff like that. But if you're at all, you know, on the outer edge of what is a quote unquote officially recognized as good or bad, then you really have to work at who your lawyers actually are. And Andrew Bridgen certainly had that experience. And there was a really good RCR session with Simon, with Professor Bruce Party, just that whole idea of, are we shifting from rule of law to rule by law? And if people haven't had a listen to that, I can highly recommend they go back and listen to Simon O'Connor's interview with Professor Bruce Party. And it's just a whole idea how laws are being used against us and how the system is being rigged. And something we all just simply need to be aware of so that we don't fall foul of things that are happening, like that lady that, got jailed for, did she get jailed? Yes, she did get jailed for a while, for a lady called, what's her name, Bernie Spofforth. It's a weird name to say, S-B-O-F-F-O-R-T-H. And she'd forwarded a tweet about those riots, and they ended up coming and collecting her and taking her to prison for a few days. And she just talks about how she was experiencing that, the whole process of how the law is not working to support us and not treating us as innocent until proven guilty, but checking us out as guilty first.
So it is a strange realization, isn't it, to realize. And I think before we started recording, you used the word infiltration, but, mm-hmm. to realize that some of these foundational areas that we thought were the foundations of trust and people that are here to look after us, lawyers and doctors, we really look at those now with fresh eyes. And I love that you bring a realistic perspective. So that's why we call this realistic reflections, not optimistic, definitely not entirely pessimistic, but somewhere in the middle. So anything else on that before we move on to topic number two?
No, I think we all verge that talking about that optimism and pessimism rather than realism is it's like we need to not be overly Pollyannish or not to be overly, hell is coming, no matter what, but just be actually to get real about what's going on and be honest about it so we can take better steps rather than being terrified, or Pollyannish.
Exactly. As I like to say, being prepared but not paranoid. Exactly. Yeah. So another thing that you raised that's I know is important to you is where are the young people and the ones that are speaking out and doing things, it's really important to highlight them. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. I was listening to a lady, Nazarene Veronica is her name. She's from the UK. And she woke up with the COVID and then she suddenly realized that someone emailed her or direct messaged her and started to question her thoughts on the climate. And she dug in and looked in, and she's been really talking out about that. And one of the things she says is learning to ask questions that you know the answer to, but mainstream doesn't. And I thought that was a really good concept to look at that. So partly it's the idea of really helping the young people get their voice out there, because there are very few young people involved at the moment. They tend to be very busy with their lives. I don't know whether they just think it's just all going to blow over or not, but there are people that are young that they might be able to listen to more. And particularly, I think, for those people that are indoctrinated through our schooling system about what's, the whole climate agenda hoax, the 2030 process. She's really good at helping people see it that differently, because particularly us old male white guys have been seriously sidelined, because we're the bad boomers now and we're male, which makes it even worse. And if we're white, that makes it even worse yet. So from my point of view of being, being a greenie when I was younger to being, seen as a far right terrorist kind of person is just a serious joke. But to see, particularly women, because I think like Netflix, everything is directed towards heroines rather than male heroes. So I think young males have a problem standing up, but young women are actually making a good job of that. And Nazarene Veronica is one of them. Another lass I like is a lady called Naomi Sept, S-E-I-B-T, Sept. I mean, she's German. She came out to give an antithesis to Greta Thunberg, So I think both of those are really worthwhile sharing with the younger audience and being aware of what they're up to. So following them on X and on their social media platforms and using them. I'd love RCR. I did suggest to RCR that they look at interviewing some younger people. So we
yes.
have a younger audience on.
I absolutely agree. And we're keen. I mean, hey, if you're out there and you're listening and you are, or you know someone who is younger, what are we talking about, Derek? 20 and below? Is that young?
That's young, but I think 30 and below is young.
Okay. Well, there we go.
I'm coming from turning 70 next year. So.
Well, we're very open, definitely, to shining the light on people that are of all ages, but especially, yeah, we'd love to hear from some more young people. We'd love to hear their perspective, even if they are not in alignment. But if they are doing things along the lines of reality check stuff, you know, truth and freedom, freedom of speech. And we would love to hear from you on the show. We would love to hear what you're up to so we can highlight that. Thank you so much, Derek. Where can people follow you and find your Substack as well?
My name's unusual name is D-A-R-A-G. So D for dog, A for apple, R for Romeo, A for apple, and G for go. So Darig. Second H pronounced like an I. So darig.substack.com is where they'll see my Substack. And then my website where you can get my book for free, darigrenn.com. So D-A-R-A-G-R-E-N-N for November, I-E.com.
I love it. I love it. G for go. Good to go. Thank you so much for kicking off this mini segment. We're going to have you back on the show here and there. It's been amazing. Thanks so much, everyone. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 2057 on the text or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. That last song was called Reality and Lost Frequencies with Janyak Devi. And before that, I was chatting with Derek Rennie, who always has some amazing Substacks. He's a great researcher. He's got an incredible mind. And I'll try to bring him onto the show now and then for a few more insights. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Up Your Brave show and Reality Check Radio. I'm sure, I imagine, there's a few other shows that you listen to on the regular or maybe sporadically. We do appreciate you listening. We also appreciate you sharing the show. Please spread the word. If there's an interview that resonates, then let people know about it. Share the link. Also, there's some amazing little short clips you can share from our social media. Be sure to check out at tag RCR on Instagram and Reality Check Radio, the official page, not the duplicate page, on Facebook. We love that you can follow us there too. Thanks so much for joining us. We will see you next week. Until then, this is Natalie Cutler-Welsh signing off. Handing over. I think we're going straight into breakfast, so you can listen to breakfast if you missed it this morning. But before then, here's Sarah Bareilles with her song, Brave.
You can be amazing, you can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. I wanna see
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.